We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
And away we go with our numero dos, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Radio Program is on the air. It is the Fan Upstate. I am Rob Brown, the great one Lonzo, on the ones and twos this AM. I'm flustered right now because we're watching one of the network shows in the AM and they're going over highlights from last night. And I know that there's a reason for it. The NBA is going to be very invested in the Thunder because they are such a young team. That team is less than 24 years old on average. That's a young team. That team's got a core that could be good for a long time. But I'm getting really sick of the coverage this morning, acting as if, and again, listen, I'm just being a fan right now. I'm in my feels, I know, but I'm allowed to do that, all right? Get off me. I'm getting real tired, great one, of the coverage this AM, just like salivating like the Thunder beat us by 90 when we're the only damn team in the league that played with the upper level seed.
I don't know. Did you notice they're showing a lot of Zion? He looks like he's moving pretty well.
Well, it's a shoulder. It's not a knee this time.
Oh, I thought it was a hamstring. Okay.
Well, it's a hamstring injury, but they're also still worried about some of the injuries from the regular season. I'm not going to say he's fine. He's obviously not. I promise you, if the Birds could get him out there, they'd want to.
Looked like he was walking well. Looked like he was moving well. If it was a shoulder, when they show him turning around really quick.
It was the hammy that he busted up in the Lakers game.
Right, and that's the reason why he's not playing.
Right.
He may have turned that limp into a pimp, but it looked like he was walking fine to me.
Well, I'm not a doctor, nor did I stay in a Holiday Inn Express.
I think
night.
It's funny that they made sure that they show those camera angles. You got to show the star on the bench.
You
got to
show the star on the bench. A and B. I think they know, as I have said, if that guy plays, the Pelicans are up 1-0 in the series. And again, I don't have an issue other than this morning. The coverage has just been like falling heels over head, which is how that expression should work. Falling heels over head to talk about how amazing Oklahoma City is when the Pelicans were the only lower seed that gave a game in round one. But like I said, I'm in my feels. What do you want? I'm hurting this morning. You know who else is hurting? All the people who are up this morning on a Monday and have to go to work. All the people who are up this early after having a spectacular sports weekend and they've got to get to the office. That might be you. That might be you. Here's the good news. Lonzo and I, we're here for you. We're compassionate, kind, caring, giving people. We dedicate our mornings to make the sacrifice that is doing this radio show for you, the people. And part of the service that we provide to you, out of the goodness of our overwhelmingly large hearts, is to bring you the biggest and most important news and information in the world of sports that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports. And if you're on your way to the office to start talking sports, you're going to need to know about these three items, the three items on today's Water Cooler Cheat Sheet. Hits the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office today and start talking sports with your coworkers. This is what you'll be talking about. Let us begin with item number one. As we mentioned, the first round of the NBA playoffs is underway, ladies and gentlemen. We got the whole thing started with a fistful of game ones on Saturday, another few on Sunday. On Saturday, the Cavs knock off the Orlando Magic 97-83. By the way, in case you're paying attention, the 1 seed Thunder 1-0, the 4 seed Clippers 1-0, the 3 seed Timberwolves 1-0, the 2 seed Nuggets 1-0 in the West. In the East, the Celtics, the 1 seed 1-0, the Cleveland Cavaliers, the 4 seed 1-0, the 3 seed in Milwaukee Bucks 1-0, and the 2 seed in Knicks. Lonzo, every higher seed won, not a seed upset in round number one.
Yay chalk.
Yay chalk. And I think we're going chalk across the board. 97-83, the Cavs get the dubs over the Magic. Spite ahead 30, Donovan Mitchell pops off 11 of 21 and 3 of 8 from deep in a stellar performance. He was not alone. Jared Allen pitched in 16. Evan Mobley pitched in 16. You got 14 out of Darius Garland. Cleveland played great one. Consistent basketball. There wasn't really a letdown spot for this team. They won every quarter with the exception of the fourth, where they lost the fourth quarter 25-24. But at that point, it was just, hey, we're slow playing this game. Let's hit the under in this game. They held Orlando to 83 points in this game. 24 from Paolo Banchero, 18 from Franz Wagner, and that was it.
I do believe that there's probably a perception out there that the Cavs cannot do anything without LeBron and didn't do anything before him and not anything after. And it's kind of surprising how dominant they're being.
48-34 so far this year, 26-15 at home. They get the round one win over Orlando. The Timberwolves made Phoenix look like they didn't even belong in the playoffs. 31 out of Kevin Durant. 18 from Devin Booker on 5 of 16 and 2 of 6 from deep. Minnesota shot 50% from the floor and went 20 of 22 from the stripe. Listen, I really thought that the Timberwolves were going to be in a fistfight in this series, and this isn't to say that Phoenix has got as much playoff experience as anybody else, but it doesn't look good. 120-95, your final in that one on Saturday. The Knicks outclassed the 76ers, but Joel Embiid went down in this game. He did play 37 minutes of this contest. 8 of 22 from the floor, 2 of 8 from deep. He did leave the game for a while, grabbing at that knee that has been bothering him. He does not look like the same guy. I talked about this with Cody Decker on Saturday's show. I like Joel Embiid. I like Joel to take this team to the Eastern Conference Finals if Joel's healthy. He's not. Jalen Brunson, on the other hand, 22 points for Brunson, 22 for Josh Hart, 21 off the bench for Miles McBride. 8 guys played in this game for the New York Knicks. I like this team a lot, man. I do. I thought the Knicks were going down in round one, but that was more about Joel Embiid than it was about the Knicks. If Embiid's not healthy, the Knicks are winning this thing in 4, maybe 5. And the Nuggets, 114-103 winners over the LA Lakers. Lonzo and I broke this game down earlier. The Nuggets played rope-a-dope for 2 quarters, and then once the Lakers started running on vapors, they just came out with a knockout blow in the third quarter. 32-18, they won the third quarter, and it was all downhill after that. That's just what the Nuggets are, man. They're going to lull you to sleep, and once you get gassed, they're going to punch you in the mouth. Sunday's games. Bucks over the Pacers, 109-94. We talked about it. Dame Lillard, great one, did not score a point in the second half. And didn't need to. 38 minutes played. He scored 35 in the first half. And they just let everybody else play in the second half of that game. I mean, they won the second quarter 39-21. And there was just nothing that Indiana could do after that. Once the Pacers established, or once the Bucks established that big lead, they became the most efficient offense I've seen in the first round. It's just keep the ball. Just take high percentage shots. Make Indiana chase us and wear themselves out. And they did. Bucks win 109-94. Clippers knocked off the Mavs. Mavs' most disappointing team in the first round.
Yeah.
Not even close.
It was ugly to watch. I bet they step it up in the next. That would be the team.
I don't know how you can do worse than 8 points in a quarter. You're a professional basketball team, for God's sake.
Not that I'm good at this or anything, but if I were to put money on anyone winning game two, I think it's Dallas. No way they play like that again.
I don't hate that bet. I don't hate that bet at all. I like that bet a lot. I might, as we say in the gambling biz, tail you on that bet. Great one. Luka's going to score 8 points by himself every quarter next game. He can't not at this point. Kyrie had 31. Luka had 33. 11 from PJ Washington. Nobody else did a damn thing for Dallas. 109-97 Clippers. The Celtics smoke Miami. I don't think this is even going to be a series.
Kristaps Porzingis, I haven't watched the Celtics play this year till this game. Dude looks good. He's like put on some weight and just, I mean, he looks like an NBA player now.
He is still, look at Dirk, dude. They just showed Dirk at the Dallas game.
Yeah, I saw it.
Dirk looks like he's ready to get to the locker room and dress out himself. That was bad, man. He looked mad as hell. Kristaps Porzingis has been I think he fits where he is with Boston, right? I think when he was with New York, where else did he play? Dallas?
Yeah, he played Dallas.
I think when he was there, those two teams tried to make Kristaps Porzingis like the guy, and I don't think he's built like that. I don't think he's built to be the guy. I think he's built to be the complimentary guy. And with Tatum and Derek White playing the way Tatum and Derek White played this weekend, I think Kristaps Porzingis fits into that role perfectly. I don't think he's stocky enough to be a 5-1 guy.
Kind of like a Chris Bosh back from Miami.
Yes.
You kind of forget about him because he's overshadowed by everybody, but he can still play really well.
I think that's a great comparison. I do. He's a dude that if you get lost in the sauce watching Brown, White, and Tatum, Porzingis suddenly's got 20 points in a game. I think that's a great comparison. Let's just call it what it is. Without Jimmy Buckets, Miami can't win this series, especially when Tyler Hero is going 4 of 13 for 11 points. It's just not good enough. Celtics up 1-0. And then last night, my New Orleans Pelicans gave everything the Oklahoma City Thunder wanted to them and just couldn't get it done because Willie Green is, dude. The only guy who has screwed New Orleans sports over more than Willie Green is Bill Vinovich. It's the only list that's made life worse for a New Orleans sports fan than Willie Green. That dude does an incredible job taking a good team to the dance and then absolutely craps the bed when he gets there. Unbelievable. New Orleans down in that series 0-1 to the Thunder, who win it 94-92. By the way, two scrappy, likable teams, man. Two scrappy, likable teams. In my ever so humble opinion. Let's go to item number two. I know that not often is the WPGA going to make the water cooler cheat sheet. But Nelly Korda puts him there. Five consecutive victories on the LPGA tour for Nelly Korda. She was at home recovering from a blood clot that required surgery in 2022. And here we are 2 years later, and she's not just the number one player in the world, but she is absolutely rewriting the history books. There have been two players in the history of the LPGA Tour who have won five consecutive. Annika Sorenstam did it in 2004-05, And Nancy Lopez did it in 1978. Nelly Korda recorded a 3-under-69, a four-day total of 13-under-275 at Carlton Woods to win her fifth consecutive LPGA tournament. Stud. I don't know what you tell me. Stud. Let's go to item number three. I've bounced back and forth on what to make item number three. Do we go with the Braves, who took two out of the three of the series with the World Series champs, the Texas Rangers? Do I go with Lamont Paris bringing in a 7-foot transfer? I'm not going to. There's a reason for that, and I'll tell you what it is coming up here in just a little while. Instead, I am going to go with the award nominees have been mentioned across the WNBA. And stop me if you've heard this before, great one, but Nikola Jokic is a finalist one more time again.
You said the WNBA.
Sorry.
I was like, what?
Tell you why.
Good for him.
Tell you why. I had a conversation yesterday about Caitlin Clark and the deal she signed with Nike versus the salary in the WNBA. I don't think Nike's paying Caitlin Clark enough. Now, this isn't me like going on a tirade about this, the paycheck. What I'm saying is this. Is Caitlin Clark the most famous basketball player on planet Earth right now that's not named LeBron James? I got to say she's probably in the discussion, right? I think if I listed most popular basketball players.
I don't know if I would say the world.
At least in America.
You could probably say in America.
Let's go with America. The only country that matters.
But it is quieting down.
Well, she's not playing basketball right now.
Okay.
LeBron is.
Yeah. Well, even if he wasn't, he still would be talked about.
Probably. We'll see when the WNBA season kicks around. I think she's the most visible player on planet Earth. You know who deserves to be? Nikola Jokic. Fourth consecutive year, he's an MVP finalist, joined by Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's very good at basketball.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We had him last night. We had him last night. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. And here we go, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show continues. Rob and Lonzo with you here on the Fan Upstate. Let's go with some NFL draft talk here. For just a minute, we had Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast on last Thursday. We talked a little bit about the direction that they could, should, would go with their 2 picks in the second round. I have, great one, kind of come around a little bit on the concept of trading 2 to get back into the first round. I have. Because I'm getting to the point, based on some draft previews I've been reading, based on some draft thoughts that I've seen from guys who cover different teams, I think in the second half of the first round, I think there's going to be an enormous run on wide receivers. I've been sitting here thinking this draft class is deep with wide receivers. This draft class is stacked with wide receivers. And I think at 33, somebody's going to be available. We know that Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Roma Dunze are all going to be off the board quick. But I have seen Adonai Mitchell's name from Texas, probably the fourth best receiver in this draft. He's interchangeable to me with Brian Thomas out of LSU. Those guys are going to come off the board in the mid to late teens. And then the question is, do Troy Franklin or Ladd McConkey make it to 33? And the more I've read, the more I've paid attention, the less likely I think that they are. Which means that I think your best available options are going to be Keon Coleman out of Florida State, Roman Wilson out of Michigan, Ricky Pearsall out of Florida. Those are the next three guys on the board. Coleman is very interesting to me as a wide receiver because he is, you obviously we saw what he did at Florida State. He is a very explosive guy off the ball, but he's not super agile, which is the type of wide receiver that gets you in trouble against a lockdown defensive back. If you're going to go Keon Coleman and play him opposite of Deontay, then I think you have to create a world in which Deontay is getting like an overwhelming number of pass attempts from BY thrown in his direction. Because if Deontay Johnson does not feel like a home run ball threat on every play, if he feels like a guy that's only getting the ball when he's open and you're not comfortable throwing him 50-50 balls, you're not comfortable putting it in the air and trusting Deontay Johnson to go get it, then I think defenses can start to shade coverage over to Keon Coleman. And I think he gets removed from the game at that point. I think he gets removed from the game. I think he becomes a limited participant in the offense. So I like Keon Coleman a lot, but I think Keon Coleman's a guy who's got to be placed opposite of a home run threat. I think he's got to be played opposite of a true, legitimate number one threat wide receiver. Roman Wilson. I like Roman Wilson a lot. I actually think Roman Wilson is probably being undervalued in this draft class. I think one of the reasons Roman Wilson out of Michigan is underrated, underappreciated, great one, is because of who he had as quarterback, J.J. McCarthy. I am convinced at this point, and I might be proven wrong on Thursday night, I am convinced the J.J. McCarthy hype is like a league-wide smokescreen. Every team is looking at it as a free excuse to throw some smoke up in front of their actual plans.
This is the first year in a while where I actually do believe there's going to be trades. You know, I think the last couple of drafts have been fairly boring. I know the Panthers, you know, traded up to get Bryce Young, but we knew that was happening before. Well, we knew they were going to take a quarterback anyway. I think there's going to be a lot of movement in the first round. And I hope so, because that's exciting. And I think maybe some teams, maybe even the Panthers, find their way back into round one.
I'm getting to the point where I almost feel like that's obligatory. I almost feel like they kind of have to at this point. I think Roman Wilson's undervalued. I think Ricky Pearsall, all the things that I said that got Rashad Beard upset with me, all the things that I said that got Rashad Beard to say that I was being kind of lazy, quote unquote, when it came to my evaluation of Ladd McConkey.
You're never going to forget that, are you?
No, I'm not. I love Rashad. I really do. Rashad and I have hung a couple of times when I've been up in Charlotte for different things. I love having Rashad on the show. Man, that one hurt. That one stung a little bit. All right. Now, I will also say, I watched a lot of tape on Ladd McConkey last Friday and Saturday, and I'm not totally ready to come off of my I'll change it from he is a slot receiver to I would feel most comfortable with him in a slot spot. He's a 6 foot tall wide receiver. He ain't small, but he ain't a big guy either. He ain't going 6'4", 6'5", coming across the middle. I would feel most comfortable with him in a slot. Ricky Pearsall is a slot receiver. Ricky Pearsall is nothing but a slot receiver. If I'm getting Ricky Pearsall, I'm hoping he falls to 39 because I don't even know that I'm comfortable taking him at 33. I am coming around, great one, to the belief that while there are plenty of needs, edge rusher is still a need, linebacker is still a need, defensive back specifically at the corner is still a need. There's a lot of needs for this team. I have come all the way around to I think I am good if Dan Morgan decides that he wants to punch the 33 and the 39 together to get back into the 17 to 24 range. And I do think, because I agree with you, I think Thursday night we are going to be very busy talking about trades around the first round. I think there's going to be a team somewhere from 17 to 24 that would be happy with 2 second rounders for their first. And the more I think about it, the more I'm circling around to that's the right move for Carolina. Go up there into the range that Adonai Mitchell, that Brian Thomas Jr. are going to be, Troy Franklin are going to be available. Because after that, and Ladd McConkey, because after that, Keon Coleman, Ricky Pearsall are a definite drop off. And honestly, I think Roman Wilson's going to skip up the draft board.
I've seen several things where he has said that they're not building around Bryce Young, that they're building a team. I don't believe that. I believe definitely they're going to try to trade back into round one to get the biggest name receiver they can get.
I saw that comment too. And we already know. You know, about 6 weeks ago, Lonzo and I threw out the first mention of hashtag drafts or hashtag smokescreen season, because it is. If you're not building around Bryce Young, you're doing it wrong.
Unless you don't plan on him being there after his rookie contract and you're just building everything else.
That's still,
yeah, I know.
What, 2 to 3 more years?
Yeah.
I mean, you are locked in at this point. So even if that's the case, I still think you've got to go in on that guy, even if you don't believe he's the guy, which, again, I don't believe that anyone in an offense doesn't believe that he's the guy. I think you do have to build around him. I think saying we're not building around him is silly. You still got to build out a team.
Right.
Sure.
Because whether you have the confidence in him or not, you want to win games, so you got to build the team in a way where it would make him successful. Now, if you do that and he's not successful, you got to find a way to replace him and get him out of there.
Sure. But I think, to me, building a successful team begins with building around your quarterback, a young quarterback. It begins. So to me, while there are plenty of needs, yes, the number one need is wide receiver in this draft. I think there's a wide receiver run coming in the first round. I think it's going to end up taking Roman Wilson above Keon Coleman. I don't even know if that's a big shock, but I think he jumps up. I think at 33, you're looking at Coleman. You're looking at Pearsall. You're looking at Ladd McConkey if you're lucky. I think everybody else is off the board in the first round. And because of that, I have come all the way around to the belief that Carolina should package their 2 second rounders and jump up to the first. Agree or disagree? I want your thoughts, Panther fans. Renewal by Anderson to the Carolinas fan phone, 844-326-3663. Text us, 71307. It's the Rob Brown Show. It's the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. It is the Fan Upstate, ladies and gentlemen. Rob, Lonzo, and you. We have talked some NBA basketball this morning. I'll throw this out there real quick. Lamont Paris is working the transfer portal right now. South Carolina men's basketball announced yesterday that they have landed Missouri transfer forward Jordan Butler. Butler is the first transfer in this cycle He is not the first transfer cycle in. The 7-footer who played his ball at Christ Church Episcopal School in Greenville, South Carolina, spent his first year with Mizzou, played in 31 games, had 14 starts. Now, averaged 2.3 points and 2 rebounds per game, played 11.4 minutes per game. Best effort came last year against Ole Miss when he scored 10 and had 4 boards. I'm going to need my man to throw on some weight. I'm going to need my guy to ball out. Before he committed to Mizzou, he had offers from South Carolina, Florida State, Alabama, and Auburn. So it's not exactly a list of nobodies that wanted this cat to come play for him. Right, the number 131 overall player and the number 18 center in the country. He was also tabbed as the number 2 prospect overall.
So he's a true center.
He is a true center.
From the sound of it, but his stats, not that great.
It's not that great. Mizzou was not that great. And that's not to say...
You can shine on a bad team.
You can shine on a bad team. You are absolutely correct. And that is not to say that this guy is a game-changing big man. What I'm saying is... I would make the argument, great one, that last year's South Carolina team, more than anything else, was missing out on a true in-the-middle big guy. You had a couple of guys who played almost a combo power forward. You had a couple of guys that didn't really play 4, didn't really play 5, but played kind of somewhere in the middle. And I don't know that that was ever going to be enough. Like, BJ Mack, to me, played a 4-5 and had a good year doing it. You had, who else? Colin Murray-Boyles is a power forward. Studi was a power forward. You didn't really have that big guy in the middle. Gray was probably the closest you have, but he's a backup. I'm not really willing to say that I'm like over the moon about this. What I'm saying is you saw with BJ Mack how much South Carolina's, how much Lamont Paris's offense is predicated on playing through the paint. Because with Michi Johnson, when Michi got hot, it didn't always feel that way. It didn't always feel like their game was work inside out, but it is. And I think for the first time under Lamont Paris, if this cat does work out to be the guy that Gamecock fans obviously hope he does, I think this becomes the first time that you've run an inside-out offense with a true 7. And by the way, basketball has moved away from being a game that has true big guys. If I asked you to look around the league, I would say Porzingis is on that list. Outside of Kristaps Porzingis, Bam Adebayo, who else is like a true 5, a pure 5? Jokic is not a pure 5. He is a 5, but he's not a pure 5. Embiid, maybe? Like, Embiid's borderline? I would argue that basketball has kind of gotten away from the pure 5. I would also argue you can still succeed with one. And I think that's kind of the direction that if you're Lamont Paris, you're hoping that you can take Jordan Butler. Oh, that's right. Shane said, how about Daniel Gafford? Legend. Legend in the making. You don't see a lot of pure 5 players in the paint anymore. You see a lot of guys who are 4-5s, or you see a lot of guys that are fives that play at the elbow, fives that play at the stripe as much as they play on the block. And don't get me wrong, the more versatile you can give me a guy, the better. If you give me a seven, Victor Wembanyama, you give me a seven-footer that can go 6 of 11 from 3? Yeah, I can do something with that. Like Jokic, you give me a guy that can go pull me 11 boards a game, but also dish out assists at the same rate? Yeah, I can do something with that. I got to think part of the goal here is to unlock this guy's versatility. But before I do any of that, so I can't have a seven-footer that gets 2 boards a game. That's pointless. If you're going to give me a seven-footer that gives me 2 boards a game, and this is from me the hesitancy to get super jacked up. It's a great transfer in. But the hesitancy for me to get super jacked up about it is how's this cat develop under Lamont Paris? Because I don't know that we have seen a pure five get developed yet. I don't know if we've seen a pure five, but I don't know that we've seen one get developed out of somebody who maybe should or could be. So you got 14 starts. That's great. You got 31 games of action at Mizzou. That tells me he was consistent enough, at the very least. He was consistent enough to earn PT. He was consistent enough to earn some starts. Yes, it was on a bad team. But as Lonzo pointed out, great players shine whether they're on a great team or a bad team. He was good enough to get PT. He was good enough to get starts when they needed him. That's all spectacular. Now, can you turn him away from being a seven-footer who gets I don't care if you're playing 15 minutes. If you're a seven-footer and you're only getting 2 boards, I got no room for you. That's your thing, dude. Like, that's not to say I can't utilize you in other ways. If you're a seven-footer who has a consistent mid-range jumper, I can work that into the offense.
It's your thing in America. If you're from Europe, you're probably a three-point specialist at that size.
Even still, Jokic gets triple-doubles. He's still getting 10 boards a game. My man averaged a triple-double last year. He's getting you 10 a game. I'm not saying that I need to see Jordan Butler come down and get me 22 rebounds a game.
That would be nice, though.
It would be super nice. What I'm saying is I need Jordan Butler in the double-digit category in rebounds in any given game. There's not a lot of seven-footers that this dude should not be able to outdo. There's not a lot of guys that I should expect this guy to get out-rebounded by. 7 foot, 230. Do I need him to throw on some LBs? Yeah, I'd like it.
Is he like Sean Bradley back in the day, or maybe Manute Bol, or some of these guys that are really tall but just don't move well?
I'm not going to say doesn't move well. Like, he's not statuesque.
I mean, without actually having watched him, it's just what you said earlier. How is he not getting rebounds?
I am watching through some of his – I watched through last night when the announcement came around some of his clips. And I will say there's a couple of things that I like and a couple of things I don't. One of the things that I don't like in watching the seven-footer play is that – he spends a lot of time up around the three-point line. He spends a lot of time. You're a seven-footer guy. Like, I need you playing the mid-range. It now does appear to have great one. Does appear to have a little bit of a three-point shot on him. Does appear that if you leave him unguarded, and this is what I would love to have out of a seven-footer. I would love to have a guy out of a seven-footer that I can stick out there at the three-point line, that I can stick out there around the top of the key, and you better not leave it unopened. Second thing I love, really good closeout speed for a seven-footer. Really good closeout speed. I'm watching a lot of his defensive highlights last night, and one of the things that I saw is that if you take your big man and you play him out in the short corner, You play them out in the wing. You try to clear them out. It doesn't mandate that he leave the short corner or leave the block for you. He can still play help side defense. And if you get it to your big guy in space out in the short corner, he can still close out on you. He's got pretty impressive speed for a 7-footer. He's got good closeout speed. I think the mid-range shot is going to have to be developed. I think the mid-range shot is going to have to be improved a little bit. It looks like he's got a bit of a three on him, but it looks like he's not super comfortable in the mid-range with specifically with open Jays. That's got to go away too, because that to me is a big part of what Lamon Paris wants to do. The big man needs to be able to hit those threes so that he can open the floor for Colin Murray-Boyles or whoever else. So good closeout speed, which allows him to stay in tight and play help side defense underneath the basket. It allows him to kind of play the role of rim protector, which is something I think the Gamecock basketball program needs right now. He's got to develop the mid-range jumper. This is, again, this is what I've seen from limited time watching Mizzou basketball last year, because why would you? And from doing a rundown on some of his highlights last night. Good closeout speed, an okay mid-range jumper, a lot more comfortable from range if he's got time to establish the shot, and solid rim protecting defense. That's what I'm seeing that you are getting out of Jordan Butler. Here's the other thing I'm going to say. Last week, when we were talking about the last, not transfer, because Butler is the first transfer, but when you got Cam to stay home, who was a Texas commit but not a Texas player, so that was not a transfer. Jordan Butler is your first transfer in. When you got Cam to stay home, we had this conversation about whether it's basketball or football. To me, a solid indicator of whether or not I can trust your program is, are you winning the state? Are you getting the guys close to home to either stay home or, in the case of a Jordan Butler, come home? And right now for Lamon Paris, it feels like it. Again, it's two guys. It's two guys. It's Cam and it's Jordan. I don't want to sit here and say like, oh, he's, you know, it's dominant. He's closing out the state. But you got two of the best South Carolina produced high school basketball players of the last 2 years, both deciding to come to Columbia. Despite the fact that your in-state rival made an Elite Eight run this year, was points away from being a Final Four team this year, outperformed expectations this year. The biggest South Carolina home prospect this year is coming to Columbia. The biggest South Carolina transfer is coming to Columbia this year. Again, I'm not exactly ready to hand Lamont the crown and the sash of King of the State quite yet. But Zoe, this is a big step in that direction. And if you can win the battle for the Carolinas, because they got a couple of kids in North Carolina coming down or looking at it as well. If you can win the battle of the Carolinas, if you can be in contention with North Carolina, with Duke, for guys out of the Northern Carolina, and if you can beat Clemson for guys in the South Carolina, you got a chance.
How much longer is the window open for transfers?
I do not know when the end date is for the portal. Let me rephrase that. I don't know when the window is for closing, but once you're in the portal, you're in the portal. You can stay or go for as long as you need.
Okay,
to.
So that just has to do with entering. All right, okay. Yeah. So are there any more South Carolina players, players born in the state, still out there?
It's a great question. It's a great question. The men's basketball portal window opens March 18th and closes on May 1st. That's your window for winter sports. Now, all the different sports have their own individual window. In case you were curious, great one. The fencing window opens March 19th and closes May 2nd.
Okay. All right.
So if you're really paying attention to fencing, there's your transfer portal window.
I was asking about the window because maybe there's some recruiting going on, not necessarily from the coaches or that, but from other players going, hey, you know, your boy just came here. Why don't you come here too? That sort of thing.
I don't know if you saw this. Last week when the portal started getting hot and heavy for football, it was very interesting that the two Sanders brothers out in Colorado, Deion's losing a ton of players in the portal right now. Because just like I called the shot, Deion is a wonderful football celebrity. The X's and O's are in doubt. They had a phenomenal start to the season last year because they caught folks by surprise. And then once folks figured out that Deion's not an X's and O's guy, he's a guy that thought, well, I just got all the talent to come play for me at Jackson State. I can do it at D. No, you can't. No, you can't. You got to win. Celebrity don't matter. Deion is bleeding players out of the portal right now. Shador and Silo, Shiloh went on Twitter or Instagram, and Shador put out a tweet or an Instagram post. I don't remember which one. I think it was Instagram. That said, offensive players in the portal, contact me. Defensive players in the portal, contact Shiloh. Like the Sanders brothers are recruiting coordinators now for Colorado as they are hemorrhaging players out of the portal.
Well, that's just the beginning of that. I mean, those are two guys that are pretty famous.
I think it's been going on the last couple of years. It's just those are the two guys with the last name Sanders.
Yeah, so it makes them more visible.
Yep.
But even more so, as this thing continues, it's going to be a lot of that. Especially if you played with someone in high school or against someone in high school, and you're trying to get them to come to it's, you know, I'm just not shocked by it.
The transfer portal is very much like money. I heard an old joke once. Do you know what the easiest way to become a billionaire is? Be a millionaire, right? Money makes money faster than anything else. You can work as hard as you want in this life. Money generates money faster than hard work. That's just the reality, unfortunately. The portal's the same way. You get 2-3 portal guys in, they get 2-3 portals guys in, and they get 2-3 portal guys in. That's why winning the portal is as important as recruiting in the beginning. That's why what Lamont Paris is doing to circle full cycle, because I'm good at radio, is super important. You know who else is good? Nene, great at radio? The great one, Lonzo. I don't know why I went Tony the Tiger. Here's a sports fly. Wow.
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 By the way, you just described a pyramid scheme. I hope you know that. The list of NBA individuals award winners was one gets one, two
it's
gets...
It's multi-level marketing!
There we go. Award winners is released this weekend. Nikola Jokic is nominated for MVP for the fourth straight year, joined by Giannis, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and Luka Doncic. The Rookie of the Year nominees are Victor Wembanyama, Chet Holmgren, and Charlotte's own Brandon Miller. Wembanyama is also a Defensive Player of the Year candidate, along with Rudy Gobert and Bam Adebayo. The Braves' six-game win streak came to an end last night as the Rangers knocked off Atlanta 6-4. Darius Vines was credited for the loss after giving up 7 hits and 2 home runs in 5 innings. DH Marcell Ozuna hit his MLB leading 9th homer of the year. And make sure you join Wire to Wire this Thursday live from Dave & Buster's for their NFL Draft Special.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights.
Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.